Welcome everybody to another episode of HomeKit Insider. You've got me, Andrew O'Hara, here with my pal and the 17th most popular light bulb salesman in Finland, Steven Robles. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's funny because there's actually only 15 salesmen over there, so I see what you did there. I got you.
Yeah.
No offense to the Finlandians. Finlandians?
Or their top 15 Finlanders?
Finlandians? Finlandias.
Philanderers, not that one. Not Philanderers. No.
Finlandia. That's not it. It's actually a classical music piece that I've played in. That's Finlandia. But anyway, I digress. Well, we have a ton of news and a ton of listener feedback from this past week, which is amazing. I think we should get right to it. Nanoleaf, they finally enabled Thread on their latest shapes and elements lines of products. And this is pretty cool. Actually, the CEO who we actually had on this podcast, Jimmy Chu, he alluded that there was that Thread radio in there. We asked him about it. And it looks like finally it is actually enabled. And so you'll get Thread on Nanoleaf stuff. But do we know what models exactly? Because it's not like the oldest models, right?
No. So I think it's any of the newer ones, like you said, like the Elements line, the Shapes line, which are the two like new current ones. And it's also important to differentiate like what we're actually getting with Thread. And I couldn't remember, we knew this ahead of time, and I couldn't remember if this was something that we reported on when we originally covered like the wood panels and a couple of the other ones, or when Jimmy Chu was on, but this is not like the Thread that we have like in contact sensors or anything like that. It's acting as a Thread border router. So you're still going to communicate with the device over Wi-Fi, but this will be a border router to any of your Thread accessories, which is still great too, because it's extending that Thread network and allowing those to connect to this guy and then bridge onto your network and have greater control of those Thread devices. So this is a great update for the Nanoleaf line.
So just to be clear, so a Thread border router means that it will help further Thread devices that are farther away from whatever home hubs you have. They'll be able to talk to the Nanoleaf, which will then talk to your hubs. But the Nanoleaf device itself is still communicating over Wi-Fi and not Thread. Does that sound right?
Yeah, basically. So Thread has a lot of benefits for like wireless devices.
Yeah.
Does the new Eve Energy, was it enabled as a border router? I mean, the HomePod Mini is a border router. So this is doing what the HomePod Mini does of just bridging your Thread devices from the Thread network to your Wi-Fi network. But you don't need, you know, a dedicated device just for that, like you would with like a Zigbee hub.
Right.
That's like its sole purpose is to bridge. This is being built into products like the Nanoleaf line. So you don't need an additional hub around if you've got your Nanoleaf line, if you got a HomePod Mini, possibly an Eve Energy, because I can't remember. But yeah, those are just going to do that for you. So it's built in the stuff that you've already got around.
Very cool. All right, well, this next piece of news is from Acara. We know them. They make plugs, light switches. We talked about their newest hub, the M1 hub, recently. And they have a new roller shade driver. So, you know, we talked about smart shades the past couple weeks with Hunter Douglas. And this isn't full shades that would replace everything on your window. This is a device that would connect to kind of those little like ball chain things that you would use to raise and lower or to make the shades, you know, do that kind of thing. If you could see it on the video, I don't know how to describe it, to articulate open or closed. And this little like motor thing, it was on their website, kind of, I don't know if it's leaked. I mean, it's on their website, but we're waiting for kind of official announcement and pricing and all that kind of stuff. But it's something that you could attach to current shades. It uses a rechargeable battery. It integrates with HomeKit. And you would get more control over your shades through this like Acara attachment. We've seen similar things like this with SwitchBot. SwitchBot has their SwitchBot curtains where you like put it on the bar and they literally with motors move across the bar to make the curtains open. So this is one of those kind of manual ways to make something dumb in your home a little smarter. And so that's the Acara Shade Driver E1. Once we get more details, we'll talk about that soon.
Yeah, I like that it works with like HomeKit natively.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going through Acara. So I the one that I tried, because SwitchBot, you know, doesn't have HomeKit native support, right?
Right.
Yeah, you have to use
their hub, their app, all that kind of
stuff. Yeah. So the one that I had tried that's similar to this, I think it's Soma Shades is the company.
Okay.
Yeah, I tried this for a while. I think they introduced a second generation device, but it does the same thing. You got the roller chain for your shades to go up and down. This would go on there. You basically loop around, make it tight, mount it to your wall, and it would raise and lower your shades for you. And it worked natively through HomeKit with their bridge. But in the case of when I tried it, it wasn't fully HomeKit certified. So like everyone had the same like HomeKit pairing code, I think, because they weren't fully certified through Apple yet. They were working on it. Gotcha. I don't know where they stand now, but yeah, it was pretty nice. I just liked having it. The downside that I had with the Soma Shades one that it looks like Akara took care of here is Akara has a manual up and down button. The Soma Shades one did not. I've said it a million times, physical controls, because you put that Soma Shade one on there and then you want to control and you don't have your phone or a Siri thing nearby. Right. Like my wife would want to open and close the shades and it's locked. Like it's literally locked in place because of that adapter. Akara has buttons on there, which is good.
Yeah. So it's the Soma Smart Shades 2. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. And they now also have a hub that makes it HomeKit compatible. So if you want to check those out. And it works with bead style blind cords and just like the rope style. I guess they call it the endless cord, so no beads. So anyway, works with both of those kinds of things. Now, Andrew, we're looking at each other via video. I would say I'm looking you in the eyes, but I'm really looking at my camera, which looks like I'm looking you in your eyes. But
one big eye.
That's right. Andrew, talk to me about some of the video stuff we've had going on.
We've had a few things going on. So one, I wanted to tout my video that went up already. Like by the time you guys see this, you may have already seen the other video, but I was really excited by it. And I did it on like 8 little examples of Apple's attention to detail, basically. Like there are things that people don't think about, like how they work together, but Apple like did, and most of the stuff like flies completely under the radar. And so I kind of want to bring attention to them. And there was a couple that were HomeKit related, so I'm like, ha, example to tie it in and
there you go.
Promote the video. So if you're kind of interested in like these little things that Apple does to make things work together, a couple examples, which I think we might have already touched on the show. But one, like how the head tracking works for AirPods in tvOS 15 with spatial audio. The fact that they're like using the accelerometers to know when you're sitting and when you're facing the television to start head tracking. And then as you move, it keeps that spatial audio coming in front of you. Like that's crazy how they manage to like work all those things together. About how they prompt the correct iPhone to enter passwords on the Apple TV. Like if you didn't really think about it too much, you'd like go up to your Apple TV, you hit a text box and it pops up on your phone. How did it pop up on your phone?
Magic.
Why didn't it pop up on my wife's phone sitting 3 feet away from me? Or, you know, my friend's phone, you know, who's like down the hall or something.
Yeah.
How did they do that? They're using the Bluetooth connection strength relative to the Siri remote. Because everyone's sitting equidistant from the TV, so that wouldn't work. But they're detecting who is closest to the Siri remote, and that's the person that gets prompted to enter the password or the keyboard.
Right.
Like just little things like that are really cool. And I did have one HomeKit example on like how Apple's tapping into your photos library for facial recognition on your cameras, so that when it sees someone at the doorbell, it knows your Aunt Muriel is here with shortbread cookies. Like it can tell exactly who it is just based on who's in your photo library, which I think is just brilliant and secure and private. So if you care more about that stuff, you can go look. And then the other thing is, which is hyper relevant to everyone watching or listening right now.
That's right.
Is we're continuing to do the videos of HomeKit Insider. So if you want to see our pretty faces and my hat.
It's not going to carry it away there, but yeah, go ahead.
If you want to see that stuff, if you want to watch this versus listening or just go back and forth, anything like that, we are doing the videos of HomeKit Insider. But as to not dilute the Apple Insider channel too much, like flood it with too many, you know, the podcast versus all of our other stuff that we're doing, we broke it off into a separate channel. So Steven, the Link Master General, will put the link in the show notes for the new HomeKit Insider channel. Maybe we'll add some other videos there too and product reviews and stuff like that. But basically just going to be the HomeKit branch of Apple Insider where you can watch all of these videos and anything else. So we're going to keep doing the videos. And if you're not seeing them on the Apple Insider channel, that's why. So go there, turn on your notifications because those videos are probably going to land like a day early. We'll probably drop them like on the weekend or something because we can do whatever we want. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, these guys video HomeKit Insider channel.
It's very cool. And it's thank you to you listeners and now viewers, because you guys have just amazing engagement And we get so much positive feedback about you guys who appreciate HomeKit Insider and listen. And when we did put videos out, you guys really liked watching it too. So thank you all as the audience who really not only listen and watch, but also participate, which we saw this past week because we got a ton of listener questions and feedback. So thank you all. Keep doing it.
Yeah. Thank you for giving us extra work to do. We needed more work, more stuff to research. So thank you for the additional burden.
No, we appreciate it. We are public servants, Andrew. We are public servants to the HomeKit Insider. You know, I actually wanted to come up with, I don't know how you feel about this, but I want to come up with a name to call the group of people that come to our aid, either when we ask for feedback or questions or engagement. I thought like HomeKit Army or the HomeKit Horde. Oh, that's pretty good. It's got some alliteration there. I don't know. I'd be curious maybe what our listeners...
HomeKitties. No?
Show's over. No, that's it. The channel's closing it down. Shutting it down. No, listeners, I would love to know, tweet at Andrew and myself, what should we call the HomeKit Horde? I don't know. That's getting real catchy. I mean, you got that alliteration going. But anyway, we want to hear from you guys. The HomeKit Household. No, that's too much. I don't know.
Wow, that's...
Anyway, if you don't want it to be HomeKit Kitties, you really got to let us know. Tweet at us this week. And we'll see.
Not HomeKit Kitties. It's HomeKitties. One word. It's like one thing. Like you smushed them together.
That hurt my heart.
HomeKitties.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's get on to some personal projects. So I just, again, thanking you all again for the incredible feedback and tweets and emails about what we talked about the last couple weeks. And so last week, I kind of went in depth about trying to automate notifications when a door is left open. And this is something that we discussed is not something that's possible natively in the Home app. There's not really a if left open for a certain amount of minutes or seconds, send me a notification. Like that's not a thing you can do natively in the Home app. And so we got a ton of people it's like kind of telling us their solutions to this and how they've worked around it. And so I'm going to give a couple and then the one that I tried. And so Tyler on Twitter, he was actually the only one to send me this, but there is a Homebridge integration, which again, Homebridge is not native HomeKit. You know, you do need to have a Homebridge server running and it's third-party stuff, but I've used it in the past. Homebridge stuff can work really consistently, especially if you have it on like a Mac mini server type thing. But Homebridge Messenger is actually a notification style server that can ping or send notifications based on events not natively available in HomeKit. So that's Homebridge Messenger. I may try that soon. I haven't tried it yet, but if any of you want to do that, that's Homebridge Messenger. A second option I got online was Pushover. Pushover is an app that, again, there's like an open web API, and it allows you to program notifications depending on whatever you build in shortcuts or home automations. But I did see that that was a paid option. You do have to subscribe annually or monthly. And it's not expensive. I think it's like $2 or $3 a month. But I passed on that. I downloaded it, looked at it, and it looked pretty cool. Pushover is that app. But what I landed on trying was an app called Pushcuts. And there was a bunch of people that tweeted this. And then Shane Watley on YouTube, he makes a bunch of HomeKit videos. He actually did a video last week, shortly after we recorded. I don't think he heard our episode. I don't think he could have heard our episode because it wasn't released by the time he made this video. But
other than the fact this topic has been like ongoing for like a month.
We haven't talked about
it. It's our longest running segment.
It really has been. But he made a video talking about advanced HomeKit notifications, and he used Pushcuts specifically. And so that's the one I chose to go with. I followed his video. We'll link to that in the show notes as well. But Pushcuts, again, it sends notifications to your phone, and it's really a programmer type app. Like there are lots of options. It's very powerful, but you do have to really get in there and kind of know what you're doing at least on the surface. Like it's not too bad, but if you do the Pushcuts app, you open the app, you hit the plus button and you basically create a new notification. So this notification is going to come from the Pushcut app. And from there you can just have like, what is the notification going to say? What's in the title and description of the notification. And then you can do some cool things of what happens when I tap the notification. Let's say you get a notification from Pushcuts and you want to have a shortcut that launches, like shut off a light, or you want to be able to call someone at home to close a door if it's left open. You can program some of those automations, but you don't have to. So if you just want the notification, if a door is left open, you would go to the Pushcuts app, hit the plus button, title it, type what you want the notification to say, and you just click add. You create it as a new notification, and then it gives you this option to copy URL. And this URL is an open API that you can use in shortcuts or in a home automation to trigger this notification. So once you have that URL, then you can go to the Shortcuts app, and I recommend you do it in the Shortcuts app, not the Home app. As Shane said, it's been a little more solid of a process doing the Shortcuts app. But you go to Shortcuts, you go to Automation like we have done before, you hit the plus icon, you create a home automation for your house like we've done before, you choose when a sensor detects something, you choose the door that you want to have this notification triggered for. So let's say it's your living room, your front door. You know, you want to know if your front door is left open. You select the door, you hit next. Whenever the door opens, run this automation. So you hit next again. And then that's when you scroll down. And if you don't know, it's that secret sauce at the very bottom that says convert to shortcut. That's what you want to do. And when you convert it to shortcut, you add the first step. You can X out of any steps that are pre-filled there. You add an action. And this was tweeted at me by several people as well. The only way this works is by using a wait command in a shortcut. So if you search for a shortcut step called wait, it's the only one that's really called that. It's wait. And then you can program that from 1 second to like 5 minutes. Programming the wait command is basically saying, this is when I want you to check if the door is still open. So you can have it at 10 seconds, 20 seconds, or whatever. And you can say, if it's been open for 20 seconds, that's when I want the notification. Now, Shane said in his video, and it's been my experience too, that wait commands can be a little flaky. You know, if it's a shorter amount of time, like 10 seconds, even up to a minute or 2 minutes, it'll run pretty consistently. But if you try to do 5 minutes or more in a wait command, it will fail probably more often than it successfully launches. So you gotta be careful how long you set the wait command. But because this is a door being left open, I set mine to about 30 seconds. I mean, typically 30 seconds, it's actually a long time for a door to be open, and I would want to be notified about that. So you can do wait 30 seconds, you add the plus icon, and then the next step is if. So you do the if statement. This is a conditional if you want to use the programming language. And in an if statement, like Andrew said last week, you can select a home accessory in an if statement. So you can choose that front door contact sensor again. You choose contact sensor state as the conditional, and if it is open, so you're saying if front door contact sensor is open after the waiting of 20 or 30 seconds, then you're going to use that URL that you got from Pushcuts right here. And so the step you search for in Shortcuts is URL, and you can paste that URL and use that in the if statement, if front door contact sensor state is open, load this URL, add one more step of get contents of URL, because that actually triggers the notification. And I'll put a screenshot as the chapter art if you're listening, and we'll put it in the show notes and YouTube description so you can see what the shortcut looks like. It's not long. And then once you've done that, you can hit next, hit done, save, and you're good to go. Now, if everything works correctly, what that automation does is, let's say your front door opens. That shortcut is triggered because it's triggered every time the door opens. It waits the amount of time you set, let's say 30 seconds. And once those 30 seconds have passed, it checks, is that contact sensor still open? Or did it close? If it closed, nothing happens. If it is still open after those 30 seconds, it triggers the pushcut link, which sends a notification to your phone. And if you program that notification to say, hey, front door was left open, now you get that notification that it was left open. Two quick last things on it. Number one, as I was setting it up and testing from the shortcut phase, I got this error multiple times that said accessory not reachable. And I could not get it to play unless, like, to be successful pretty much ever in the testing phase, like when I was just looking at the shortcut. Andrew, I'd be curious if you know in a second if you have to be near a contact sensor for that stuff to work, like physically, I don't know. But I got that error a couple times, and I wasn't sure if that meant it wasn't going to work. But then, lo and behold, yesterday, the day before we record this podcast, I got the notification that a door was opened because I have all those notifications turned on in the Home app. And then, as in some providence, another notification from Pushcuts that said, hey, the front door was left open. And I said, my goodness, it worked. And then I guess someone closed it shortly after that, because then I got another home notification that said, all right, door was closed. I said, okay. So apparently it worked. And I actually got the notification. It came through. It said what I wanted it to say. And so it seems to have worked, even despite getting that error that accessory was not reachable. I don't know why it told me that. I don't know if it, but the push cut system using the URL, using the wait command, like many of you recommended, it does seem to work. And if you want a notification if a door is left open or any contact sensor, it seems like this is a good way to do it. We have finished the if a door is left open. Do you ever get that error about an accessory not being reachable when you're trying to make a shortcut or automation?
No, but I haven't tried enough times to to pay attention to it. I did have a couple other things that I had gotten because we received a monster amount of feedback this last week.
Literally drowned. We died. We died drowning.
One, I'm pretty sure there's like a homebridge like wait command that you can use to trigger automations.
Right.
So that's different than like, you know, anything native in HomeKit. So that's a possibility for kind of some of this too. And then I got one from Khaled, which I assume is not the DJ. But he goes through
maybe a DJ Khaled.
Yeah, it turns out he's just a huge HomeKit insider fan fan and yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, but apparently not a fan of charging his phone because he sent me a bunch of screenshots and they're like at 0.5% battery life, I'm pretty sure. But don't worry, low power mode is on, so Khaled's good. His whole thing, he does use like pushover for the notification, but his neat thing was that he did his scripting to do like in intervals to continuously check over the period of 2 minutes, because if you like trigger it, you know, whatever it is, say when you leave or something or when a door is open and then it's like open and closed again, it could still like check and then it's like send you a notification anyway, even though it had been opened and closed within that time frame. That makes sense. Like if it happened to be like, if you like left, came back in, get something, and then it's like, oh, the door's been open for 2 minutes. You're like, no, it hasn't. It's like 10 seconds. I just opened it again.
Right.
So this one, like it like waits 30 seconds, checks to see if it's open. Waits another like few seconds, 30 seconds, checks if it's open.
Gotcha.
Checks another 30 seconds, still open. Final 30 seconds, if it's open, then they send over that push notification that your door was left open. So same thing, kind of whether you're going through pushover or push cuts, anything like that, but send you that notification. But I like that he went through and was checking it consistently to make sure it was open that entire time and not just like open and close and open and close. So there's a little bit more protection there so you don't get a bunch of errant notifications.
Right.
But yeah, this was a fun journey. The longest running segment on our show comes to an end.
I will close the loop. Yes, this is a slash whatever div slash p. I don't know, whatever HTML designation you want. We will not talk about this next week, I promise. But thank you for everyone who sent in those ideas. And I'd love to know if you listeners are doing anything with push cuts, pushover, Homebridge Messenger, or some of the integration Andrew was talking about. We'd love to see what projects you got going on. Now, Andrew, you have something in our note here called NFC picture frames. I know what NFC is, and I know what a picture frame is. So I assume I know what this is, but why don't you tell me about it?
I've been there's like five different things here that I've been doing. I've just been playing with like these NFC tags again recently because I just think of like different things I could do with them. So I've been trying different stuff.
Yeah.
So I have a few different just examples, and none of this I'm saying is like completely original. I'm sure this stuff is out there. It's like not that complicated, but I've been doing it the last couple weeks and I wanted to go through some of this stuff, but basically just running different HomeKit stuff and automations based on an NFC tag. We've talked about that before. It's a possibility with shortcuts and newer iPhones that do have NFC scanners and stuff in them. So I just started integrating it into things around the house. So like we have like our picture frames, you know, up through our living room for everywhere in the house, right? But I started doing stuff so that when you like tap on the edge of the frame with your phone, it'll do stuff. So like if I go up to like our wedding photo, if I tap it, it'll pull up the album from our wedding of all the photos.
That's pretty sweet.
That we took that day. I turned it into, we have some out west photos. We went out west to the Grand Canyon and Zion and all this kind of stuff. So I did something similar, but I actually used the Hue app to create like one of those like scenes based on a picture. So I loaded up one of our pictures of like a sunset at the Grand Canyon. And I made that into like our living room scene. And then now if I tap this out west photo, it'll change the lights in the room to how it was like, you know, to set the scene of like you were out at the Grand Canyon and then pulls up all of our out west photos in that album. I did one where we got married. If you tap that one, it'll pull up like a map of the area of where we got married at. I have my Lego sets like we talked about before behind me, and I've got like a few Star Wars ones.
That's cool.
So I took one of my NFC tags and I put it in a brick and now if you like tap, I have the Mos Eisley Cantina set, ooh, which is one of my like serious favorites. I love the scene. I love the Lego set is just ridiculous.
That's cool.
It's got like 15 minifigures with it and stuff. But now when you tap on that, so not only does it change the lights, but it plays like the Mos Eisley Cantina song.
Oh, that's hot. Yeah. That's what so, I was like, trying to hum. Yeah.
I've got the whole thing. Yeah, see, that's what you're going for.
Mm-hmm. So good.
There's the one.
Very catchy.
I got a Simpsons one over here. I can tap on that and it plays like the Simpsons theme song. And more recently, I was worried originally about like spoiling the surprise of this for who I'm making it for. But then I realized that our episode is going up on Monday after I've gifted this.
Okay.
So I don't have to worry about, not like I think my friend Sean is specifically listening to this episode or anything, but him and his wife are having their first baby and I'm making them like a little memory box, like keepsake box, out of wood. So I've been working on that for the past however long. I randomly had this idea of like embedding an NFC tag into the box. So I'm going to put this like just below the lid in the box, hide it in there. And then when you tap on the box with your phone, I'm laser etching with our CNC a bunch of stars onto the lid of this box. And I'm going to put the child's name when they actually have the baby.
Yeah.
But to give it to them, I'm just going to have stars in a little bit of an open area where the name will go. So there's stars on the top. So when you tap it, it'll be able to play When You Wish Upon a Star. My wife found like a nice instrumental version of that. So it'll play When You Wish Upon a Star. And then in the case of gifting it to him, I'm going to have it pull up a picture of their ultrasound.
Mm.
But then when I give it, when he has it, I'll send him the shortcut so he can have his hue lights change to like blue. It'll play When You Wish Upon a Star and it'll pull up like their baby album.
Mm, that's nice.
So I thought that was a cool idea of like embedding these NFC tags into stuff. Like instead of just, you know, running your regular automations, I kind of like getting more contextual information about whatever it is that you're looking at. Pictures, posters, models, anything like that. Yeah. So I'm just building this NFC thing into a wooden box and I thought it was pretty fun.
That is very cool. I love NFC. I mean, it's so cool what you could do, especially with shortcuts. And, you know, I have a few. I have one in my car, one elsewhere. But, yeah, I've been trying to figure out what else can you do with NFC. But those are very, very cool ideas, especially as a gift, man. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So if anyone, we've talked about them before. I think mine are kind of expensive when I looked at the larger NFC market. But for me, they've been, like, really reliable. And I'm using these ones here, Steven, like the tiny NFC.
Oh, that's
nice. They're itty-bitty, like... Yeah, they're like the size of my thumbnail, or not even, no, my thumbnail is too big. It's the size of like my pinky nail. Size of a pinky nail right there.
Yeah.
I use these guys quite a bit. This is my second pack. Yeah, they're a little expensive, but they're so small, which I like.
That is nice.
A lot, they're a little easier to hide, and they've been more reliable than some of the cheap ones that I've picked up.
So those are called, is that the brand name is Tiny?
Yeah, they're just called Tiny NFC.
Tiny NFC. Yeah, because the last ones I got, they were like these big white circles, and a little bit of a... eyesore. But did you get those on Amazon?
I don't think so. I think they're like through their own website, basically.
Okay, that's because I was wondering. Looking at Amazon, it was all those big white little circle things.
Yeah, 63 tiny NFC tags, memories 144 bytes.
Tiny NFC.
NFC forum type 2.
TinyNFC.com is the name of the website. You can pay with Bitcoin, apparently. So this item ships from Norway. Wow. Okay. Well, I will put a link to this in show notes. It looks like this is the only thing they sell. You buy it. It is $50. You get one sheet with 63 tags. So less than $1 a tag. Not too bad, but tiny NFC. Mm-mm. Very cool. Very nice.
Yeah. We should wait. I want to hear what everyone else does with NFC tags. Yes. I want to hear some like other cool ideas of what people do with NFC. So this time I want you guys all to reach out. I don't want to hear about open door notifications, but I do want to hear what NFC tags people use because I feel like there's just so much you can do and they're underutilized.
Yes. I would love to hear too. Very cool. All right, well, let's get to some of our listener questions and feedback this week. We got a ton of stuff. So first of all, we had a listener reach out. She's saying she's been listening and loving the show. This is Hannah from Atlanta, Georgia. And she doesn't really have a question because, I mean, honestly, she seems like a brilliant technology person. She's like a UI, UX designer, all this. And she sent us her HomeKit setup in what looks like a mind map. This looks like it might be Mind Node. I got that right, Hannah. Let me know. But I think it's Mind Node. But she's got her home set up. She's got Philips Hue and Akara. She's got Homebridge running and all this kind of stuff. So just looks very cool. And it was fun talking to Hannah. So anyway, just wanted to give a shout out, Hannah. Thanks for listening. Pretty cool. And secondly, this is Carl. He sent us an email. He said he was wondering if the Ecobee temperature sensors can be set up independent of the thermostat in HomeKit or the Home app. He'd like to use them in the attic or garage to monitor temperature, but he doesn't want to purchase an Ecobee thermostat at this time. Thanks, Carl. I'm pretty sure, no, you cannot use them individually. Like, you can purchase them individually from the Ecobee website, but they do not have a HomeKit code, I believe, directly on them. I believe they strictly talk to the thermostat, and the Ecobee thermostat is what brings them into HomeKit. It almost acts as the hub. Does that sound about right to you, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you need the one of the Ecobees to connect to those guys, because those don't connect like Bluetooth or anything like that. They connect over their own dealie.
Right.
So they only will connect to the thermostat.
But if you want a temperature sensor, you know, Eve has their temperature thing. You can buy a standalone HomeKit temperature gauge that doesn't require a hub. If you have some Akara devices, I know they have temperature, air quality sensor stuff. And let's see, is there any other temperature sensors I'm not thinking of? Does Hue have a temperature sensor? I know they have motion and light sensor.
You're going to make me look up things, Steven.
Oh, so the Hue Motion Plus actually does have a temperature sensor as well as motion and light. So if you have a Hue hub, you would need the Hue hub, but you can go with that Hue Motion Plus. And then, of course, there was the Akara one that I mentioned. You would need the Akara hub. But again, the Eve one, which is like a quality sensor and temperature, I think you would want to go with that one if you don't want a hub. So I think that's my official...
I'm just laughing. Like, I was like prepping to answer like one of these questions that I knew was coming up. And then I'm like, it's not even in our list. Like, we've got so many questions in my thing that I was going to...
Yep.
It wasn't even like a thing in the list. No, but I was pretty sure that the Hue one did that, but I wanted to double check. And for some reason, my Hue stuff is out of sync again, and it's not listed in my kitchen where it's supposed to be.
Goodness, that's a mess. So yes, Carl, I would recommend maybe either the Hue one, or if you don't want to have to get another hub, the Eve Room temperature sensor. It is $100. So, I mean, you might actually go cheaper getting a hub somewhere and a different one, but $100 doesn't require a hub, Eve Room. That'll tell you the temperature. Standalone. All right. Patrick from Twitter. He asked us both, are there any options for a four-way HomeKit switch? I don't even know how many ways that is or what you would do with a four-way switch, but Andrew, do you have any idea about this?
I don't. I don't know enough.
I don't think there are four-way HomeKit switches.
I know, but I also don't, but I don't know if it matters how much, it may matter. I didn't know if it mattered beyond like the three-way. I thought they were pretty much wired like the same way.
Right.
But I don't know. So don't trust me.
Okay. This is one of those listener questions where we will ask the HomeKit horde what do they think if they know of a four-way HomeKit switch. They responded when we asked for UK and EU switches. So we'll ask you, HomeKit horde. I'm just going to keep saying it until someone gives us a different option.
Let's go, HomeKitties. Oh. Come on.
We're going to have to do like a Twitter poll
Bring
or something.
It,
we're going to vote on this. Okay. Four-way switch. Let us know, listeners, if you know that. This next question came from George on Twitter. He just moved into a newly built home. The builder used a Kevo smart lock on the front door. He couldn't get it to work. It's not HomeKit compatible. So he wants to make the lock HomeKit compatible, but he doesn't want to have to remove all the Kevo door lock stuff that's set up, you know, it's built into the door and it's new. So he was asking, can he put a level lock bolt, which is the level lock that is just like kind of the interior bolt thing, can you put that inside the Kevo and run it on HomeKit and just let the Kevo, like remove the batteries from the Kevo, let it just be like a dumb lock, but it just looks like a smart lock. I told him, which I thought was pretty funny, it's kind of like putting a hat on a hat, you know, putting a smart deadbolt inside of a smart lock, but I feel like that would work. If he wants to put the level lock inside of there, it should work just fine.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on how the Kevo mounts, because I don't know how that one mounts and what is going inside of the door. I mean, if it's mounting purely on the exterior and like the internal part of the door sandwiched between the two plates is the same as like a standard door lock,
right,
then you're good to go. But like I have, as an example, like the Yale, it actually has like some components and wires that are going through the door. And because of that, the level wouldn't fit in there. So it just would depend on what the internal part is. As long as the internal part is clear, you just got like your the throw or whatever going on in there, it's going to work just fine. But it does need that whole circle to fill up with the components.
Right. Well, let us know if you tried that out. So this next one comes from a tweet. This is from Ben Dick. He asked, I'm moving into an apartment in Europe and I won't be allowed to replace the in-wall light switches. Are there any battery-operated light switches I can use instead of actual switches, maybe to control Philips Hue bulbs? It must look like a regular light switch. Now, we're not sure. I'm curious, Bendick, if this is a toggle type switch where it has like the little, you know, stick that comes out, or if this is a paddle switch where it's kind of the flatter light switch. If it's the stick light switch, then of course I would recommend the Lutron Aurora. I have like five of them. I've been using them in my current living situation, and those work directly with Philips Hue bulbs. And in my experience, they're super solid. They work really well. You can turn the light on, off, and dim it. It's just a little rotary circle. We'll put a link to the Lutron Aurora in the show notes. If it is a paddle wall switch, I feel like we had a product like this before where you can put it over one of those and it would basically, you know, hide the paddle switch and you would just have the home, like the smart control on top of it. I have forgotten the name of that. I will try and find it for the show notes. But if it's like a regular stick light switch, definitely Lutron Aurora, in my opinion. What do you think, Andrew?
So first off, I mean, he does say he's in Europe, so I assume he's not using the American style switches with the little piece that sticks out,
right?
Which means the regular Aurora will not work.
Right.
And then we had this whole conversation before.
We really did.
With the Aurora, yes. Because they were having a paddle version of theirs, and essentially the way it worked was it like snapped over top of the whole thing. And it still gave you the little rotary dial and do all that stuff. And that still exists, and I found it. The problem is, it's not the square style for Europe.
It's
still the American tall, skinny ones. So I don't know if they make an EU version of that. That would be the biggest hang-up. Like, every other switch that I know of, none of them are shaped like a square European light switch.
Right.
I mean, you know, oh, the Wemo, which looks like a pretty much normal light switch, you know, here in the U.S., or attaching the Aurora to existing light switches like you were talking about. Like, there is a lot of options in terms of, like, switches and HomeKit controllers and stuff like that, but none of them look like that, as far as I know. The only one, and I don't even know if they do, I thought, like, Kara might have something, but I thought they might have, like, a big square button.
Well, that's what their new switches look like. I know that.
No, I thought before that they had like a square button thing that kind of looked like that, but I could...
Searching on Amazon, I did find Philips Hue has a new like button for their smart lights. It has like a wall plate looking thing and then a button on top of it. And it's made to where you could just mount it anywhere and it's a button for your smart lights. But I wonder if you could find just kind of a generic cover for the paddle switch. So you can not see it and no one can hit it accidentally. And then maybe put one of these Philips Hue buttons on that cover. I mean, this thing might stick out like an inch or two, but you don't have to worry about the paddle switch shutting off. You'd be able to control the Hue lights with that button on top and it might do what you're looking for. So I'll put a link to that Philips Hue button in show notes as well. It dims as well as turns on and off. So I don't know, might meet your needs there. We'll put that in show notes. All right. So this next is from Father Nicholas Napolitano. Is this man a priest? Father?
Apparently.
I mean, he's not your literal father, right? I mean, this is not, not my father. Okay.
I do not have an Italian father.
No. Well, Father Nicholas, first of all, let us know. What is the father designation from? I'm very curious. That is very cool. Okay.
Well, it's on his Twitter bio. I could tell you. Is it?
Okay. Oh, let's look.
Yeah. Right here. Father Nicholas Napolitano, priest of the Archdiocese of Mobile. Well, but pastor of St. John the Baptist, Magnolia Springs, Alabama.
When you said mobile, I thought it was going to be a joke that he was like
the... I did too.
Like a mobile technology? I did too,
but he had like photos. He had photos, okay. And I was like, this is a really far joke, but then it went real, so...
Is this a Father Nick here on Twitter? This is amazing. Oh, yeah, Father I see, Nick, I just 17. Found it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm following this guy. This is awesome. Okay. Father Nicholas. Very cool. All right. Well, he is asking, is there any way to set up, this is an automation question, is there a way to set up a destination in Apple Maps as a trigger? Wants that when he sets the destination to home, the thermostat lowers. Now, as far as I understand, there is not like an address that you can set in shortcuts as like trigger something when I do this. You can do before I commute, and that's probably the closest to what you want to do. Oh, that's, you can do before I commute back home. You can do that, that trigger.
But you can also do location.
Based on an address?
Yeah.
Like putting in, wait a minute.
Yes.
When I arrive, leave, before I commute, I'm looking right now at the shortcut personal automation triggers. What am I looking at here?
Personal automation, arrive, then location, choose.
Choose an address.
And I can put in, like I put in an address right there and okay. Just tap it, done, anytime.
See, but I think it's he wants to trigger when he starts traveling to the destination, not when he arrives.
Because
if it goes off when he gets home, yeah, he wants it so when I start heading home.
I thought it was when he like start, wait, okay.
Right. So I would say before I commute. And what you can, if you go to the shortcuts, you go to automations, click the plus, do a personal automation, and the trigger you use is before I commute, and you can do before I commute back home, and you can set it to predicted time or 5 minutes before, 10 minutes before. I'm not sure what that would be before, you know, because it if this would only work if you have like a consistent schedule, you know, like if you're leaving every day mostly around 5, which I guess would be fine if it turns on a couple days here and there a little earlier than you wanted it to. But you could do before I commute back home at predicted time, and then you can add home controls in that shortcut. And so while it won't have, it's not a maps trigger, it will at least try to anticipate when you commute. Or you could, another trigger for automations is you hit a plus, create personal automations, and you can do it when you open an app. Now the problem there is like if you make it trigger whenever I open Apple Maps, then this is going to trigger anytime you open it. So even if you're just like going somewhere for lunch or you're going on a road trip, it's going to trigger it all the time. So you probably don't want to do that, but that is an option. So Father Nicholas, I would recommend using the before I commute command and see if that anticipation will work pretty good. Or you can do when I leave a location. So if you just want to say anytime I leave work, turn on my thermostat, which again, imperfect because if you leave for lunch, it might trigger it automatically. So that's why the before I commute back home is maybe the ideal, but play around with those. Let us know, Father Nicholas. That's pretty cool.
Another option may be creating like a going home shortcut.
Yes.
That you run, that you could just run, whether like through Siri when you get in the car or, you know, on your watch face, whatever you want to do to put a shortcut to that, a quick link to that. And then it could do everything like pull up your maps and navigate to home. It could send a text to your wife or whatever of how long until you get there, and then run the shortcut to turn on your thermostat. So you could do all of those like in one thing.
Yes. It's almost like you were setting me up for a softball pitch right there, Andrew, because I had a shortcut video where I walked people through building a shortcut that will automatically send a text to your partner or significant other when you run the shortcut. Thank you, Andrew. And I will put a link to that video in show notes as well. But I run that shortcut manually whenever I leave work. It just sends a text to my wife how many minutes I am away from home. But you can, of course, add other steps into that shortcut, like change my thermostat. It would be a manual trigger. You do have to tap it. But I have it as an Apple Watch complication. So it's really just looking at my watch and tapping the symbol, and it runs, sends the text. You can change your thermostat. You can do an NFC trigger. Put a little NFC sticker in your car, hold your phone up to it, and it'll trigger the same shortcut. Or you can try and do it time of day when I leave, again, like we were just talking about. So good call. I'll put that link in show notes.
See, I like the NFC idea, tying it back.
Yes, that's a callback.
You can have one just there to run your on my way home shortcut.
That's right.
Or just tell Siri, I'm on my way home.
Boom.
And she'll do all that for you.
Exactly. All right, very cool. All right, two more. Alex asked us, didn't you guys say that the faceplate on the Wemo Smart Stage can be replaced so you can mount the wall holder where a wall switch would go and put another plate over it? I have my controller, but can't work out how to take the plate off. It sounds like you have something over there, Andrew, that you're going to show us all. So what do you say about the Wemo Smart Stage?
Okay, we've got it here.
Andrew was showing us the wall plate.
I'm not. Are you my subtitles right now?
I'm narrating.
Please narrate. Okay. Yeah, on the back of the, when it comes in the box, there is a set of adhesives on the back, so you can just stick this to the wall.
Andrew's right? Holding up the
adhesive, your normal.
Okay, sorry.
Your normal dealio. Yeah. But if you flex the plate a little bit, it actually will pop off and you're left with the cradle part, which has your screw mounts on the top and bottom to screw into any wall fixture, like wall switch thing. Like, you know, cap off the wires, put this on there instead. Or if you have just any dummy plate or anything, you can stick this to it and screw it into place. And then the wall plate will cover that. It'll snap on. Now, these are your standard Decora wall plates, so you can swap out the white one that it comes with any other Decora wall plate that is out there. So you could mount the cradle to the wall, then swap out the plate for any color or style that will go with your standard Decora wall plate. And then, of course, so that's magnet. There's a magnet in the back of it, and then your little the little switch will just sit right on there and mount that way. So you can leave the switch on the wall, or you can pick it up and take it with you, but it will replace a standard wall outlet. And I was very nervous that I had misspoke, because I'm like, I don't remember. And that was like, I saw it like late at night or something, and I was like, now it's gonna drive me crazy until I like check in the morning. And I'm like, I got it on my desk, I'm gonna go double check, and yes, it does come off. Swap with any, put on any outlet, swap with any faceplate.
Very cool. So you should go over to the YouTube video and watch Andrew demonstrate that live on the camera. He's holding the thing. It's very cool. Last question. This just snuck in as we were recording. This is Stephen Yao. Stephen actually spells it like I spell it, with S-T-E-P-H-E-N. But watch, he probably says it's Stephen.
What a weird thing to do.
You say it's Stephen, Stephen. I'm Stephen with a P-H. Let me know. I'm going to
ask. I like how you ask him, do you say it's Stefan, Stephen?
I mean,
like, wouldn't it be, do you say it's Stefan, Stefan?
Yeah, I guess like, it would be. Listen, Stephen Curry, he ruined it for everyone with the PH spelling. But anyway.
Or fixed it for everyone.
No, no, no. Okay, so they are asking, we talked about using HomeKit in the office, like putting a red light over the door when you're busy or recording, that kind of stuff. Do we have any equipment recommendations for that? Which could just be simply like a Hue light bulb that you change red when you're recording with your phone or whatever. But you actually have a home studio. Is that what you're using, or do you have any other stuff you're doing?
I mean, he says in terms of like equipment, we were just talking about it in terms of general, any HomeKit light. You know, I could run a command, you know, hey, it's the podcast recording time, and I could set my lights. You turn on the nano leaf bulb behind me here for the video, and I could turn a status light red so that my wife or my dogs know not to enter. Because I assume in this case my dogs can see color and understand it and also open doors.
I was gonna wonder.
So that would make sense. I think we had talked about before, but the switches that I was using, or like the stuff that I was using for status lights in general, were the ones from iDevices. iDevices makes like, they make regular plugs, in-wall plugs, and light switches, and all of those have an additional little status light that is just a normal HomeKit light that can change to any color and do all of that. So that would be kind of like, if you had that like outside of your door, that could be your status light. And it would also act as a HomeKit light switch.
Gotcha. Okay. Very cool. And we will put a link to that in the show notes. Again, everything we discussed will be in show notes, including links to the video and the YouTube channel for HomeKit Insider. Definitely visit, subscribe, hit all the bell icons so you can watch Andrew and I shuck and jive about HomeKit stuff every week. And thank you for all the feedback. Keep it coming. Questions, your projects, anything you got going on HomeKit related. We would love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handles are in the show notes. Andrew is Andrew_OSU. Did I get that right?
That's right.
I'm at Stephen Robles. You can tweet at us there. Also, if you haven't yet, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to check out all the stuff we got going on Apple Insider, appleinsider.com for all the latest news and everything. Andrew, you got anything else?
Is yours at Stephen Robles or at Stefan Robles? I can't remember what your Twitter handle was.
Shows up. Listen, honestly.
Was it P?
However it helps you spell it, listeners. Just Stefan. It's the S-T-E-P-H-E-N-R-O-B-L-E-S. Thank you, Stephen Curry. And the show's over. HomeKit Horde. Let's go.
HomeKitties for the win.
Okay.